Tonight is the third message in our Community And series, and our subject tonight is the intersection of community and service. It's just one more of five important spiritual aspects to our living together in the community of Christ. We have looked at how being a community in Christ impacts what we do in the context of worship and then in prayer. And this evening we will take a similar look at the context of serving one another. And of all of these five aspects of living in community, I believe our service to one another is at the core of what it means to live together as God's people. Service, by its nature, is a community activity. To serve or to be a servant requires that we give consideration and care towards others. It is perhaps the greatest way in which we demonstrate to each other and to the world that God has given us a genuine and defining love for each other. To serve others like Christ means putting to death our selfish ambition and pride. Biblical service considers others more important than ourselves and gives preference to the desires and needs of those in the body. It is also good to note that through the sacrifice and humility of serving others, we have the privilege of living out the example of Jesus Christ. And though he was God, he served us by going to the cross and sacrificing his life that we might live. His entire life and his ministry here on earth sets the standard for what it means to serve others. And his humble example and his love for the unlovable sets the standard for how we are to serve others. Now, we don't have time tonight to look at all the ways Scripture commands us to serve and love one another, but consider this short list some examples of how we serve one another. We serve by praying for each other. We serve showing hospitality to one another. We serve with joyful greetings that welcome each other. We share our possessions out of love for one another, and we bear each other's burdens. We give to meet the needs of others. We prefer and submit to one another. We comfort one another, and we are to show kindness to each other. These are characteristics, if you will, of service that are to be seen in the community of God's people. Let's go to him now in prayer. Father, just ask that you would use your word, use this message. Pray that in my heart and in our hearts, you would show us what it means to serve others in the way that you loved us and in the way that we are to love one another. It's a heavy command at times, but it is a privilege, it is a blessing. And when we align ourselves with your will, it is indeed a joy. May we see that. May we rejoice in that tonight through your word. We ask in Christ's name, amen. So service is different than prayer and worship in that it has no real personal or self-focused element. We have private prayers, we can have private worship, but the idea of private service kind of goes against the grain of serving others, right? So biblical service then is all about sharing from all God has given us for the good of others. Now, as with prayer and worship, we still must be careful not to allow our service to others to flow from corrupted desires. You see, we can make the purpose of our service a means to getting something we want in return. We can serve in order to be liked or even to look good in front of others. Our serving others may become a work by which we think we gain favor with God. And we may choose to serve only when we feel like it or just when it's convenient. In all of these examples, a heart of humility and caring motives are absent from our serving. What is meant to be about we becomes perverted in being more about me. When it comes to serving others, there is often a tension between me and we. It is the essence of the conflict with our flesh that goes on inside our own hearts. The self-centeredness of our old nature seeks what is good for me and for mine. We see others as not worthy, or perhaps below us. Now, we would never say this out loud, but our actions show this when we see our time and our treasures as too valuable to be shared with others. Our heart silently says, not that, or not now. But praise God that the transforming power of the gospel overcomes the flesh and gives us hearts that are willing to say, even that, and even now, for the sake of others. Because Christ gives to us his desire to serve the we of community and to show love to others however we can. Tonight, as we look at the intersection of community and serving, it is my desire to help us see the priority and importance of loving Christ and loving one another in the example that he gave to us on the cross. I think I can safely say that for all of us, serving when it's not so hard comes naturally, right? When serving is easy, it's easy. And sometimes when there's a really great need and it's pressing and we just sense that emotional pull, we're willing to give and we jump in because that emotional aspect of driving us to serve others is there. But as Christ followers, the example of our Savior, and even what we see in Acts in the early church, is to serve constantly, consistently, and to serve sacrificially. You see, the real measure of sacrificial serving is not just in the big things. It's in the mess of the mundane, if you will. It's in the regular sharing with one another in the grind of everyday life. It is serving faithfully in the trenches of church ministry. It's encouraging one another as we raise families. It's helping each other deal with relational struggles. My challenge to you tonight, as you hear this message, is to faithfully serve others in your everyday lives with generosity and with great joy. That is my hope, that we as a church will be known as a church that faithfully, consistently serves each other, and that we do so with great generosity and great joy. You see, God has sovereignly placed you here at the chapel. You are here in this body of believers with abilities and resources to serve others because this is where God placed you. And as I said last week, we're not saved to live a life that's independent of the body of Christ. There is to be a mutual dependence upon one another in both our physical and our spiritual needs. Our service and connection to one another is meant to keep us from the selfish and individualistic tendencies of the me, so that we can live selfless lives connected to the we of being God's people. And there is even a larger aspect to lives lived in the context of community. It's a context that calls for commitment and care for one another, born out of a commitment and devotion to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus died on the cross to save us and to serve us. Through his example, he has called us to die to self so that we too may serve those whom he dearly loves. Let's turn our minds to consider the intersection of community and service. As we will look at next week, we live in a world that tells us that the most important thing is to love and care for ourselves. And I can at least speak for myself when I say that I have not arrived when it comes to serving others. There is always more that I can do for others. And God knows that my attitude towards serving others does not always reflect the heart of my Lord. So I think we need to be regularly reminded to serve one another in a world that bombards us with messages of self-indulgence and in self-worth. It takes less than a few minutes of watching TV commercials to see that ideas like submission and sacrifice to others are not a part of that message. The world does not revolve around me. Everything that happens in my life is not meant to serve my earthly passions or my desires. See, we collectively are here to serve God and his people, not the other way around. Make no mistake that we are in a cultural battle that attacks our interdependence and our sense of community as a body of Christ. Instead of believing that one of our biblical missions is to serve God and others, we gradually adopt attitudes that turn to serving self. So we must hear the truth of Scripture teaching us to change our way of thinking from self-focused to community-focused. As you consider loving others in community, keep in mind that the commands of Scripture call for us to serve both the physical and spiritual needs of others. There are times we are to give. There are times we are to share out of our material possessions. God has given them to us. That's one of the purposes. These gifts are to be sacrificial when needed. And I believe that as believers, we are literally called to share all that we have to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. To practically serve with financial gifts by using our God-given abilities. In all these ways, we express the love of God for His people, and we build bonds that strengthen our community together. Serving others also means that at times we share truth and words of encouragement to help others. We must be willing to make the time to help others in their struggles with sin. We must counsel and advise from God's word, especially when relationships get messy. We must allow others to confess sin, and we should seek forgiveness with gentle kindness towards others. This is not just for biblical counselors and those that are mature in faith. We are all to come alongside one another as friends, parents, mentors, and co-laborers in ministry. Each one of us is to serve others spiritually for the glory of God. It is an important part of building one another up and giving grace to those who need your presence in their lives. Within the context of biblical community, there are three spheres of service that we can see in Scripture. I want to spend some time here so that we can examine our own lives as just a quick checkup on how we are doing on each of these areas. I've put these together now in an order of the degree of structure. At the top has higher structure, and the bottom is less structure. So each sphere, more structure to the bottom with less structure. So first, we see in Scripture that we serve others within the structured organization or the ministries of the church. Second, we serve others in a less structured way through the commands of Scripture for hospitality or serving others in our homes. And lastly, we serve others in a more non-structured way through commands to care and to be kind and to help others in our relationships and in working and just living out daily life together. Each of these are important aspects to serving one another, and none of these are optional. We can't just pick and choose. And I believe we are called to pursue service to each other fully by being active in each of these spheres of service. So let's look at service to others in the church. Service to others in the church happens in a variety of ways. There are many ministries and opportunities to serve here at the chapel. Whether these are visible acts of service or behind the scenes, they support the function and activities of our gathering as a church. Many of these roles require that you become a member and formally join in community with the chapel. But one thing we can say from Scripture is that sitting on the sidelines is not what God intended. Many of you are to be commended for engaging and serving in multiple ministries. Others may need encouragement to find a ministry that they can serve in. And we have far too many ministries that are in need of people to serve. So please, if you are not serving, talk to an elder, talk to a ministry leader about ways in which you can support the body. Serving others in our homes is the next area, and it's largely seen in Scripture through acts of hospitality. Now, this can be a more formal setting, such as hosting a flock meeting, or maybe less formal setting, such as inviting others over to fellowship or share a meal together. Serving in this way is about welcoming people into your homes and using whatever God has given you to engage with others. Let me encourage you especially to serve those who are on the fringes of our community. Seek out new families. Seek out those who are single. Seek out anyone who is struggling, perhaps, to connect with others. And let me add this as well. Hospitality is not about how nice a home you have. It's not about how well decorated it is. It's not even about how clean your home is. Hospitality is about inviting others into your homes and, more importantly, into your lives. It's about being real and sharing life together. It's not about putting on a show. And lastly, Scripture is full of acts of service that play out in our personal relationships. Even though this is less structured, it should nonetheless be intentional care directed towards others. Now, this may be financial gifts given directly or often anonymously to meet financial needs. This is seen when you help others move or join in to complete a house project, such as finishing a basement project after someone has a slight accident with the miter saw. Thank you to all of you that did that. This is seen in staying 30 minutes after church to talk with a friend or someone who needs encouragement. Maybe they're going through a trial and they call you in the middle of a busy day so that you can help them handle a situation with raising children God's way. You see, all of these spheres are important aspects of how we serve each other as part of being a community of God's people. Tonight, I would like to look at two passages again, just kind of following the same format. I'm going to look at two passages that speak to serving one another in community. Now, the first of our passages is found in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. And please turn there and follow along with me. Here's God's word, Philippians 2, 1 through 8. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, I selected this passage for this message, not because it spoke directly to serving in community, but because it speaks to the heart of the attitude that is required to serve one another. To fully serve others requires Christ-like humility. The idea and examples we see in Christ is that of lowliness and the absence of self-serving attitudes. It is a heart that approaches others not to be served, but to willingly offer themselves as a servant. It is a setting aside of rights and privileges for the sake of others and for the glory of God. In the first two verses of this passage, we have a call to have one mind. That one mind here is to have the same mind as Jesus Christ. Paul also asks the Philippians to have those same affections and unity of mind toward one another. It is this unity and concern for others that brings joy as we align our hearts with the heart of God, who deeply loves his children. When we have this kind of mindset, without this kind of mindset, we either won't serve one another or we will serve one another for the wrong reasons. You see, service that flowers and blooms with blessings for others must grow in the fertile soil of humility. Now, verses 3 and 4 of this passage speak to the importance of pouring out our lives for others. I think what Paul is saying here, in other words, is that humility serves. Humility gets down in the dirt. It gets down into the messes of life. Humility gets real with others at the lowest points of lives, and it strives to lift them up. Humility thinks of others as more significant than themselves, making their needs a priority. Humility makes time to help those who are struggling and those who are needy. Humility looks to the interests of others, and it measures what it does by the good of others and not by the good to self. Humility does not resent others. Instead, it rejoices as it sees others being helped and restored for the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, humility serves because humility loves others. The last four verses of this passage remind us that we are also to see ourselves as servants. Our example here is Christ, who, though he was God, set aside and emptied himself to take on the form of a servant. If Christ did this for us, who are we to regard ourselves then as being above others? Humility means that we're willing to take on an attitude of being a servant. Yes, it goes against our selfish pride. Yes, we are prone to complain when we're actually treated like servants. But instead, we are to find joy in being a servant to others. Christ suffered for others despite his greatness. He gave up what he deserved to give to us what we did not deserve. I believe this is the essence of serving. Because more than using our talents and our treasures to serve others, God wants hearts that serve as humble servants. Now, the other passage to look through tonight is Romans 12, 9 through 13. Romans 12, 9 to 13. The essence of this passage is how we are to serve one another as a community of believers. If God grants to us the kind of humility that we just read about in Philippians, then what does serving others look like? Follow along again as I read Romans 12, 9 through 13. This is God's word. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Humility and serving others are tightly connected. The greater the humility, I believe, the greater the heart to serve. In this short passage, Paul defines the mark or the character of the community of Christ. Think of this as a list of ways you can serve your brothers and sisters in Christ. And as your love for Christ grows, it will develop into a love for others that flows out in serving one another. It transforms our hearts to be servants who sincerely care about one another. The Spirit prompts us to serve, to love, and to help, such that there is no task beneath us and there is no person who is unworthy of our care. Paul begins his instructions with an important command here in verse 9. First, our love and service to others is to be genuine and sincere. Love that is sincere starts with a greeting and a smile, but it is so much more than that. The call here is to examine our hearts as it relates to one another. It begs these hard questions. Do I really love this person? Do I really want what is best for them? Or do I silently delight when they struggle and are brought low? This is a call to love purely and to love without hypocrisy. We are to have a deep brotherly affection that desires what is good for others and is willing to work and to strive for their good. Service is simply love and honor for others that is put into action. In verse 11, we see that our service to others in the Lord is also to be fervent. Fervent is not a word we use all that often, but it means that we are committed to love fully and with all our energy. It is a fervent kind of love that we serve with. The sense here is that our hearts burn within or press us to serve. We are to serve wholeheartedly with all that we are. The attitude here is not half-hearted. It's not the, what is the least I can do to serve? Rather, it is committed. It is faithful to others and to meeting their needs. It is dedicated to ministering to others in each of the spheres of serving that we looked at earlier. Lastly, in verses 12 and 13, note the care we are to show in our serving one another. These verses are packed with practical ways we can help each other. First, we rejoice with others when their hearts are glad. We wait patiently with others in the midst of suffering. Frankly, sometimes the best thing you can do for someone who's struggling, who is hurting, simply to give them a hug, to cry with them, and just let them know that you care. We're also to be faithful in prayer for others. We share in their needs by lifting them up to the throne of grace and committing them to God in His care. We are also to generously give to those who are in need. And we can give of our time, we can give of our gifts and abilities, we can give of our possessions and finances. They're all things that God has given to us to share. And lastly, we are to show hospitality by opening up our homes. As we live our lives, we are to pursue relationships with one another. And our homes are a great place to break down the barriers and build friendships, to be able to share, to be able to love one another. Together, all of these weave a fabric of caring and community that unites our hearts together as one, as a tapestry of God's grace to us all. As we close tonight, it's good to be reminded that serving others is commanded throughout Scripture in various ways. But always, it seeks the good of others and the glory of God. We are to serve even when it is not easy. We are to serve even when others are not grateful. We are to serve when it is hard and even when it costs us something we value. We serve with all of our talent, time, and treasure because they are gifts from God that are not to be squandered on our own ambitions. Serving brings joy to our hearts because it is rooted in a willingness to die for others, just as our Savior died for us. Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the agony of the cross. And as we've done in each of these messages, let's first consider what me-oriented service looks like. I believe that, like prayer, this is an area that we all can work on. We all get better at serving. Because the natural tendency of our flesh is to serve ourselves. We must be on guard against this tendency, whether it is subtle thoughts that creep into our minds or whether it is a really hard struggle that we're aware of. I truly hope that tonight each of you will consider how you can serve each other more faithfully and fully in every area of ministry and in your lives together. So when does service become wrongly about me? It is wrong when the focus becomes on others serving me. This is a complete inversion of what God intended for our attitude to be. It's not about others serving me, it's about me serving others. So what are some of the signs that this is happening in our hearts? How do we know? Well, first, we know because we're dwelling on the failures of others to meet our needs. It's what we think about. Second, we know that service is about me when we are unthankful for what others have done to serve us, when we become ungrateful. And third, we know it when we are unwilling to serve others, whether out of spite or even just a lack of desire. This does not reflect the heart of our Savior. And often it reveals itself when we complain in our thoughts or in our words about others, what they have or haven't done, or how they didn't do it the way we wanted or hoped. Serving is not about us. Serving also becomes about me when we serve to gain authority, position, or favor. Again, we must be on guard against the deceitfulness of our hearts here. You know, honestly, we can do the nicest things for people and show them great kindness for all the wrong reasons. When our service is about getting something in return, we've corrupted serving into a sinful desire. Or when we serve to look good in the eyes of others, it's not the kind of humility that brings pleasure to God. Serving that looks to gain position or favor in the eyes of others is no longer driven but desire for God's glory, but rather for the glory of man. There's one more aspect to service becoming about me that we may not initially think of. It is a refusal to be served or a resentment in being served. Now, we can try to make this look like humility, but it's not. It's actually pride that underlies that kind of an attitude. Because what happens is that we begin to see ourselves as disconnected from the body of Christ, or that we are independent of others, that we don't need others, or that we are better than the help that they could provide. And so we don't allow others to help us. It's an attitude of self-sufficiency and superiority over others, and it does not please God. Brothers and sisters, be approachable when others come to offer help and service to you. Listen to them and consider that God is not only blessing you, but He blesses those whom serve you. When you deny others the opportunity to serve, you deprive them of the great joy that comes from bringing God glory. Service is intended to be a community, others-focused act of love. Service is really all about the we. In fact, service takes our eyes off of the me. Whether we serve in ministry as a part of gathering together, whether it's in our homes around a meal, or if it takes place on a late evening phone call for needed encouragement, service looks to meet the needs of others. It is all about using what God has given us in Christ and sharing it with others however we can. It is about developing the mindset of a servant, which makes time and works for the good of others. And it has a truly humble attitude that is willing to be served when God in His sovereignty allows us to be in a position of need. Service is intended to be in community. So we serve and are served for the sake and the glory of our Master and Lord Jesus Christ. It is a ministry of giving and sharing that is not self-glorifying nor self-serving. We are first and foremost servants of Christ, whose humble attitude flows out of the lowly places of those who have been saved out of sure destruction. And so we serve with grateful hearts, hearts that compel us to serve others for the glory that belongs to Christ. We serve each other not for the praise and the honor of men, but for the praise and honor of Christ, that one day He will say of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your words, for the challenge to serve one another. May You help us to see that in serving others, we serve You. That the people around us, those that we gather with, those that we have joined in membership with, are Your body. You love them. You died for them. And You have given us gifts and abilities. You've given us possessions. You've given us ways and time that we can serve others. And if we confess the truth of our own hearts, at times we are reluctant to serve, to wholeheartedly serve. Work in our lives, we pray. Move us along. May we do so not for our own name's sake, but for the glory of Your name. May this be a community where people come and see a serving kind of love, that You would be seen in the midst of how we care and love one another. May this be so. For the glory and honor of Your name, we pray in Christ's name.